share them with me. You may share them with a lot of people. But importunity, the guy would not give up. He was very persistent, very energized, very determined that Jesus was the only answer. And I think if we're that way when we pray, if we're determined that Jesus is the only answer, that God is the only one that can help us with our prayer, and if we just will not give up and we will not back off and we just keep praying for it, if we're in a right relationship with God, God will change our heart if we're praying for the wrong things. But if we're praying for the right things and we give up, well, that's not what we want to do. We want to be persistent, and we want to really expect great things from God, because as you can see what's gone on here the last 6 months, the last few weeks even, God wants to do great things. And I know I doubt it sometimes, and I get in my busy little world and I doubt it, but really He does. And if we could dream as big as God wants to do, our minds would probably be blown. So let me get back to my notes here, because I took a 5-minute hiatus from what I'm supposed to be doing here. So I felt led to focus on the prayer sermon based on our relationship with God, because obviously everything we do flows out of that. So that is, if we are close to the Lord, we will pray, number one. And number two, we'll be excited about it. We'll be glad to pray. So there may be, most of you, maybe your walk with the Lord is stellar. I'll confess to you, a lot of times mine isn't what it should be. And so based on that, I think maybe we all have times like that. So it's kind of going to be a sermon to the people that need this. And I'm going to say maybe several of you don't need this, but I do. So I'm going to preach it anyway, because that's what God wants me to do. I pray we will draw nigh unto God, and if we do, I know He will draw nigh unto us. I can't read my own writing. Sorry. Some of this is handwritten, so heaven help me. So right now I want to open with prayer, and I have my prayer written out because I know I was going to forget what I was going to say, so bear with me. Let's pray. And pray with me if you would. I believe when we pray together it adds power and God hears us. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word that shows us how to draw near to You. Help us to have open hearts to receive Your Word, and help us to hear Your voice and know exactly what we need to do to be in fellowship with You. Make us vessels that You can use, and lead us in our prayers this week so that we can help those who are at camp and need Your touch. Also guide me as I try to give your message to Your people in Christ's name and for Your glory. Amen. All right. I titled my sermon Abiding. And if you don't remember anything else, just remember abiding. Because as long as we're abiding in the Lord, we'll be able to pray and we'll be motivated to pray. Turn to John 15:7. This is going to be our primary text. You're going to be turning a lot tonight, so I hope you're feeling very patient and rested after your nap. I figured out that was probably the best way to not be a popular preacher, so they won't ask me to do it again anytime soon. Just make you turn a lot. No, I really feel like the scriptures I'm going to give you are really, really great. So it's probably the most Bible study I've done in 6 months, to be honest with you, was the last 2 weeks. When you're there, say amen. All right. John 15:7, a very familiar scripture. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I have a few questions. Do you ever feel like your prayers are not getting through? I've been there recently. Or maybe just not getting answered, or not getting answered the way we want. Do you sometimes not pray because you feel unprepared to pray? Or maybe you just feel distant from God. Maybe your prayer life has never been what you want it to be, or maybe you just feel like it's not that way right now. Can I tell you that God, there's a Timism. Can I tell you God is interested in you having a great prayer life? He wants you to have power in prayer. He wants you to do great and mighty. He wants to do, not you. He wants to do great and mighty things through your prayers. And I have a scripture written down here, and I want to read it because I was practicing on Brother Tim last night and found this scripture, and it was amazing. So bear with me a little bit. I'm at Jeremiah 33:3. Look it up. You're gonna like it, and you'll get more out of it if you look it up. Jeremiah, if I can find it in here. 33:3. And say amen when you found it. Oh, glad somebody found it. I'll give you a little time. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. It might take you a minute to find it. And since my sermon is going to be extremely short, it's no big deal. Jeremiah, right after Isaiah. And I'm cheating, so I don't have my Bible up here. Anybody need help finding Jeremiah 3? 33:3. Jeremiah. My Bible, it's about page 1239, so that's going to help you a lot. About right there. About 5/8 of the way through the Bible. All right. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's a familiar scripture, but I think it's one that bears repeating. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't think that's just for Jeremiah. I think that's for us too. I think God wants to do more than we think He can. More than all this, God wants to be able to for us to have full access to Him. Yes, for prayer. Yes, for His glory. Yes, for you to be able to witness to other people. But most of all, so that you can have fellowship with Him, because everything flows out of that. All of the works and all of the fruit that He wants to produce in your life will flow out of that relationship with Him. Everything good that we accomplish in this life is because of His working in us. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." I'm going to go back to John 15:7. If you want to follow me back there. John 15:7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done to you." Did you notice the two conditions? There's two conditions. There's blessings there, but there's two conditions. First, we must be abiding in Him. It is His will that we abide in Him, that we dwell in Him, rest in Him, and take up our very residence in Him. Second, we need His words abiding in us. The Scripture needs to have a very high priority in our lives. Those passages that we have memorized and that we meditate on in a daily and weekly basis are the treasures in our life that sustain us. If you're not meditating, if you don't have Scripture memorized, you are missing out. And I know most of us in this room do, but I'm telling you, you can't have too much Scripture memorized. Because when you're going through the hard times, God can bring it to your mind. And maybe save you out of a terrible situation. Maybe give you an opportunity to do something for Him that you couldn't otherwise do if you didn't have that Scripture memorized. It's just I don't think it's a blessing that we can even put a measurement on. Okay, so what is hindering us from having the prayer life, the spiritual life that we want and need? What is keeping us from meditating on the Word of God, on His goodness, on His love, and on His power, the things that sustain us in our thoughts from day to day? What keeps us away from that? The Bible has a lot to say about the things that cripple us spiritually. Let me read a few passages to you. Let's go to Matthew 6:14-15. I want you to read with me in your heart as I read these to you. And let me know when you're there. Raise your hand, wave, bark, say amen, do something. Because it would be great if we were all able to be there. And I'm not in any hurry. You might be, but I'm not, because this is the only time I've ever done this in my life, so I'm not in a rush. Frosty Queen stays open till 8, so we're good. Amen. I get excited about little things. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Read in your heart with me. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I hope I'm not the only, well, actually, I hope I am the only one that struggles with that. But it's unlikely, we're all human. But I know throughout my life there have been many times when somebody did something, or I thought they did something. Half the time they didn't even do anything to me, but I thought they did, or I thought they meant to say something mean, or I thought, and I just wasn't right with the Lord because I was so busy being mad at them, and it had blocked off my talking with the Lord. Matthew 5:23. I'm going to make you turn to this one. It's just like the previous chapter. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, maybe you've done something to him, maybe he thinks you've done something to him, but if you're aware of it, you know he has something against you. The Bible says, leave thy gift there before the altar, because you're not going to be able to pray anyway. I think this refers to the Old Testament offerings and sacrifices and that kind of stuff. But I don't think that God wants it just to apply to that. I think He really means that our primary gifts to God aren't in the offering plate. Those are important. It's a way of showing that, you know, we believe God's going to meet our needs. But the most important things we do for the Lord is when we're on our knees. That's the real gifts that we give God. Because God wants us to pray for our neighbor. He wants us to pray for our coworker. He wants us to pray for our family. He wants us to pray for the camper. Because He wants to act, but He wants to act on our behalf. He wants it to be answering our prayers when He does something. He wants to bless us through what He's doing. And I think that's why He wants us to pray, so that we can be involved. We can get the, whoa, not used to that, sorry guys. So that we can be involved in Him doing His kingdom activity. So, anyway, it says, go thy way. Don't try to pray. Go get things right with your brother first, and then come back. Come back and pray to me, and I'll hear you then. Psalm 66:18. I'm going to let you get by without this, but it says, without looking it up, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you're taking notes, write that down. Psalm 66:18. If I have sin in my life, God's not going to hear me. Our relationship isn't what it needs to be. So, Psalm 139:23 and 24. This is fantastic. I have to look this up, so you might as well look it up. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Ah, there it is. I love Psalm 139. I probably should read it every week. It's just that good. But this is from Brother Tim. I think it's from his last sermon, from his first sermon. But this is really good. This is part of the solution of where we need to get, how we need to get, where we need to get. But, and I don't know if this is a Psalm of David or who this is, but it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I think that's one that should be high on our, we need to memorize that one list. There's a lot of scriptures, you know, that we need to read, but that one, at least for me, because I seems like I'm always in some kind of wicked way. Ah, God help me. I need that scripture a lot. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Look that one up if you would. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. I might be running out of time here because I'm taking a lot longer than I thought I was going to. But it's not going to take very long. A few more scriptures and we're actually done, probably in the next 5 minutes. So, but we're going to do that in a little while, and I think it might turn out to be okay, because the main purpose of this service is prayer, and the sooner I get done with this, the sooner we can start praying for the campers. So, not that this isn't important, because this is maybe how we're going to get our heart right, if there's one or two of us in here that doesn't have their heart right, like I usually don't. But God willing, we've all got our heart right, and we can just go into prayer for the campers. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. I really like this scripture. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And there's one more scripture. You don't have to look it up. Hopefully this doesn't apply to anyone in this room today, but I think it's possible that we all can get here sometime in our life, and that's Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, which is the Bible, even his prayer shall be abomination. So when we try to pray and we are refusing to do what we know in our heart God has revealed to us, not everything in the Bible, because we don't know everything in the Bible. We all grow in the Lord at the pace that God has for us. I mean, we're not expected to be perfect until after we're up there. So, but there may be a time in your life where you know that there's something that God wants you to do or not do, and you're not obeying Him, and it's offensive to go to God and ask, oh, please do this, and please do that, and please do that. And he's like, man, I want to. I really do. Because he really does want to do things. The main thing for God is his relationship with us. That's what he wants more than anything else for us, is a relationship with us, and he wants us to move forward for him. But if we're not walking with him, it's like we've tied his hands, because he's not a puppeteer. So, God's answer, I think, is found if you go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. This part of his answer, part of it was found back in Psalm 139. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Well, Brother Chad hasn't texted me yet to say, hey, you forgot all the songs. So, yeah, I did, didn't I? Whoops. Okay. I'm going to assume you're there. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is such a familiar scripture, a lot of you know it by heart. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Small or large, our sin can hinder our prayers. Maybe we've got sin in our life that is so familiar to us it doesn't even seem like sin. But if we'll pray Psalm 139, 23, and 24, then God will reveal to us where we need to get right, if there is anything there. Psalm 34, 18 and 19 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So if you're going through trouble, don't be surprised. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And one of my favorite scriptures, turn to 1 John 2:1 if you feel like you can find it fast. 1 John 2:1 is great, because it gives It gives us so much hope. These things I write unto you that you sin not. But we know that's not going to happen. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ is always there. He paid the price for us. And in our moment by moment daily things that we do, whether it's the best way, I should have done this joke, but a good test for me is if I'm walking close with the Lord or not, just go out and take a drive, preferably through town in the most traffic. I'll find out real fast if I'm walking with the Lord or not. You can tell. Just the look on my face is enough to tell anybody in traffic whether I'm walking with the Lord or not. Hallelujah. Yeah. So occasionally, once or twice a year, I'll be driving in traffic and I'll realize, I'm not mad. That is weird. So those are the times I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. So a couple questions for you and we'll be done. Is there any hardness in your heart today? Do we have anything in our life that we're aware of that's keeping us away from God? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there anybody in the church that just kind of drives you crazy? You'd rather not see or hear? Maybe me. I tend to be kind of I think I'm kind of offensive sometimes, but maybe it's some of your friends that you don't really see eye to eye with. They're always nagging you about something or making fun of you for going to church. Maybe it's someone in your family. I think we all have people in our family that we just assume transfer to somebody else's family. Hopefully that's not the case, but I think we all have that one person in our family. Is there a neighbor, a coworker, anyone else that you really need to forgive for that thing that they did, or maybe we just thought they did? Is there anything you're worrying about or fearful about that really God could handle if you give it to Him? I'm a professional at this. Ask my daughter, my son, my mom, anybody that knows me. I am a professional worrier. I get up in the morning and practice for 3 hours before work. Honest to goodness, I am a worrier. Maybe with God's help, I'll eventually overcome that. Is there anyone that you know of that you need to reconcile with? If so, before we try to pray for the campers, let's pray for ourselves. There may not be anybody else in the room like that, but I'm there quite a bit. So I totally missed all these songs. So I don't know. I feel like I should sing them, and at the same time, I feel like we're at a place where maybe we should pray. But let's try. Let's hit a song here. Let's do this. We're going to have to do it a cappella because I'm afraid that's just how it is. So please sing out. And I'm not much of a song leader because I've never done this. And I don't know how to wave my arms, so I feel like I'll just look silly. So, oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed, and we followed Him there. For sin, thank you, hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. All right. I think I'm going to save that other song. I have another song. It's called In the Garden. I think I'm going to save that for right before we pray for the campers. So if you want to, brother, if you want to play the invitation music, if there's anybody that has something that you want to talk to God about, you can do it right back there. You can go back in the training room. You can come up here. But if there's something that you want to get right with God before we pray for the campers, this is the time to do it. This is what we would normally call the invitation. Let your request be made known unto God. And Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I was talking to Brother Tim last night, and it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I don't think we talk about this, but I think we all have our own prayer life. It's kind of inside our head. And how we do things and how we come to God. I always feel like I have to put everything into words. But Brother Tim doesn't feel like he has to do that. He feels like that the Lord knows his heart and the Lord impresses something on him. Oh, did it again. And he just comes to the altar and lets the Holy Spirit work in his heart. Maybe that wasn't worth mentioning, but I thought it was really interesting. And I think we can learn a lot more about prayer than what I know. I know that's for sure. So maybe we should all do what I did as a cheat sheet when I was going to go write this sermon and just print something off and start reading more about prayer, because I think it would help us. It certainly helped me. Let's sing In the Garden, and then we'll do our... I'll get some guys to help me hand this stuff out, and then we'll pray for the campers.
Tells me I am his own, and the joy we carry there.
When you get to mine, I guess give it back to, oh wait, mine's there on top, isn't it? The second or third one, there it is, thanks. I'll keep going. Here, take half these. Give everybody one of each of these. And if there's somebody that's not here, and somebody knows they're going to see him this week, here you go.
Once I was